Justice Stacy is recused from this matter, and Mr. Welch, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the courtroom.
It's cold out there, though. Not all good.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This third time around, some people say third time around is a charm. This, and as I argued before, just think of how many people I could bring in on the streets that would save me. I'm the beneficiary. I'm the beneficiary. And therefore, it's a contract, it's an insurance contract, and as far as I'm concerned, if that contract's still in effect, I'm the beneficiary. Well, that didn't happen in this case. And we are here to blame
Mr. Guyette. Do you, can you see that? Would you like to see that?
I understand what it is, Your Honor. I don't see it.
Okay, thank you.
But look up here. It says assets. Assets. And everything goes down, and then when you talk about life insurance...
What are we looking at?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're looking at a exhibit that was in the trial, and these were the notes of Mr. Poppy on the initial interview with his client, Mrs. Rice. And when they met, these are his notes for assets, and for number 10, he comes and says, and it came out in the trial, that he said life insurance, and he said none. But we're talking about assets. Term life insurance is not an asset. Life insurance contracts aren't even an asset in estate pleadings. And so he now is saying there is no insurance. But then, when he goes and prepares the property settlement agreement, he puts in there life insurance policies. There was none, according to his notes. Yet he put it in there. And then he says the life insurance policy is going to go to each other. And he never explained to her that once he puts this in here, that she is no longer the beneficiary. The two of them, as it came out, this was still somewhat of a love affair. But because Dale had some problems with some booze and drugs and so forth, they decided to separate and get a divorce. But this was no asset. And yet he put it in the property settlement agreement. She admits that she probably didn't tell him about the insurance policies because this was something that they had between the two of them. When the decree was signed, 7 days later, he says, honey, I can finally do something for you. And as far as he was concerned, he was leaving her the $250,000. It came out that she doesn't quite remember when she talked to him about there not being any insurance, but it doesn't make any difference because he made a mistake. He didn't explain to her what he was actually doing when there was no insurance, and he's putting it in there, and he uses the excuse boilerplate. Well, that's a great defense for lawyers. It's boilerplate. That's a great defense for everybody. It's boilerplate. All I'm saying to you is that this is not a defense or profession.
But you are admitting that your client did not tell Mr. Poppy about the life insurance policies.
I think you're right. It came out that way.
And it was something that they had between the two of them. And that's what they wanted, to keep each other as beneficiary. And they didn't tell him about it.
Maybe you've already told us this, but what is the implication of that admission?
The implication of their, she not telling him. Now, and understand, I don't know how many of us in this room have gone through divorces, but it's a very emotional. And it's something about life that is very difficult to handle. Now, and so you've got a client, and as I told you before, that doesn't know what it means not to tell the lawyer about insurance. I've sat at tables and just talked to people about the fact that they were on an insurance policy as a beneficiary, and how do you get removed? Well, the insured, the one whose life is insured, has to remove us. No one else can. But that's what he did. That's what he did. And I don't think it's an excuse for legal malpractice to blame the client just because she didn't tell him, because there was no reason to put this in here. And once he put it in there, and the evidence came out, he never went over anything with her. Once he put it in here, and he knew from his notes that there was no insurance, I want to tell you why I'm putting this in here. Now, I want to be sure that you don't have any insurance. Because according to this, if you do have insurance, then you're no longer going to be the beneficiary on the policy. He had a duty to do that. He is a lawyer. If I have to have a brick wall in my backyard, I hire a bricklayer. If I have to have, and I do have, a legal problem, I go to the lawyer. The lawyer is the one that knows the law. If a client knows the law, then there's no reason for the lawyer. And in this case, using the defense, and that's the defense that was found by the lower court, oh, it's boilerplate.
So what is our standard of review?
Your standard of review is that this is malpractice by a lawyer using the excuse that it is boilerplate.
Counsel, I think the chief was asking, we're here after a bench trial where a jury's waived. Isn't, and the standard of review is clearly erroneous, isn't it?
Well, it's not erroneous, because the judge made a mistake by saying and making law and having a case that says that a lawyer can use the excuse for malpractice, saying that it's boilerplate. Change that. Don't let a lawyer be able to use this excuse.
Thank you very much. Mr. Guyette, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Randy Guyette. I'm here with Chris Schmidt of my office, and we represent the appellees, Terry Poppe and his law firm, Morrow Poppe. As Mr. Welsh indicated, this is the third time this set of facts has been before the court. In the court's prior decision in this case, the court reversed that Appley wasn't entitled to summary judgment because there were a number of factual issues to be determined. So we went back to court. All of those factual issues were determined. Question of standard of care, question of Ms. Rice's conduct, and all of those decisions were determined by Judge Kuby adversely to Ms. Rice. And so the issue we have today is really a fairly narrow one, since those issues have been decided, and it's based on the standard of care. The issue is, was Judge Kuby's opinion clearly erroneous, because that is, in fact, the standard of review for this court. And this court ought to affirm the decision of Judge Kuby, because under that standard, if there's any competent evidence to support his decision, then the decision ought to be affirmed. And here, there was plenty of competent evidence to support his decision. Mr. Welsh didn't mention the evidence at trial from the experts. We called as an expert, John Ballou. Mr. Ballou testified that he believes that Mr. Poppe met the standard of care in every instance. In advising Ms. Rice on the implications of the property settlement agreement, on drafting the property settlement agreement, and in fact, what Terry Poppe did in this case was work to meet exactly the goals of Ms. Rice. And what Ms. Rice wanted, and what Mr. Poppe testified that she wanted, was a complete break. She said, I want a complete break from my husband. I want a clean break. That's the reason the boilerplate language is in there. And in fact, Mr. Ballou testified that that's common, that we do that as lawyers, and that you see that. Not only was it, is it common, he said it was essential. And Judge Kuby agreed. That language was essential. And so what Terry Poppe did was to draft an agreement that accomplished Ms. Rice's goals. And he told Ms. Rice what the effect was of the property settlement agreement. Right before the hearing, on a Monday morning, Terry Poppe was at the hearing with Ms. Rice, and he said to her, once we're done with this, there are no more do-overs. You don't get a second chance. You can't ask for anything else from your husband. We're done. That was what she wanted.
Mr. Welch seems to suggest there's an error of law that we should consider. Could you speak to that?
Right, and I'm not sure what the error of law is, but I don't think that was assigned as error. I read Mr. Welch's brief, and he indicated that he was here today suggesting to this court that the opinion of Judge Kuby was clearly erroneous. And I don't see assigned as error any error of law, but I don't believe there was any error of law by Judge Kuby. He referred to the standard that this court set in the first decision in this case, and the standard was a lawyer has a duty to reasonably advise a client concerning a document like a property settlement agreement. And he went on to determine that that's what occurred. He said that the two paragraphs, 9 and 10 of the property settlement agreement, were essential. That's what Bloom testified to. So I don't think there is any error of law. I think the only error assigned here is that the judge made a wrong decision on the facts, and the standard is clearly erroneous. And so if there's any competent evidence to support that decision, the decision ought to be affirmed. The judge made two determinations, actually. The one determination he made was Mr. Poppe's conduct did not fall below the standard of care for a lawyer. But the other decision he, or determination he made was that Ms. Rice's own conduct broke the causal chain, because what happened in this case is Mr. Poppe, in fact, asked Ms. Rice directly about insurance. He didn't just say to her, what are your assets? He testified that he went through all of her assets and he inquired about insurance. And he didn't just say, do you have any cash value insurance? He said, did you have any cash value? Do you have any insurance with cash value or other insurance that we need to be concerned about? And her response to him was no. There is no other insurance. And Ms. Rice testified, she really couldn't remember what she said to Mr. Poppe, but Mr. Poppe testified both from his memory and from his notes.
Does that dispose of the case?
Yes, I think it does. That alone disposes of the case. The judge made a determination, a factual determination on causation, and causation is a factual determination, and the judge determined that her conduct broke the causal chain, and that, therefore, any conduct of Mr. Poppe wasn't the proximate cause of her losing her beneficiary designation. Because when he asked her about the life insurance, like I said, he asked her specifically about, do we have to deal with insurance? And not only was it that he asked her about it, Ms. Rice testified that she looked at the property settlement agreement. She made changes to the property settlement agreement. She's a sophisticated person. She's a person with her master's degree. She's a person who supervised employees, and that's one of the questions this court asked in the, or mentioned in the prior opinion. What is the level of sophistication? Well, she was a very sophisticated person. And she looked at it. She even noted the reference to life insurance in the property settlement agreement. Her testimony was that she went and met with her husband on a Saturday, that they talked about life insurance. She met with Terry Poppe again Monday morning right before the hearing on the on the divorce action, the dissolution action, and at no time did she ever tell Terry Poppe there is insurance to be concerned about. He had no idea that there was insurance despite specifically asking her about insurance. And because of that, he was given no opportunity to deal with the insurance, despite asking her about it. Had she told him that there was insurance, then she could have asked, or he could have asked her about her wishes, but because she didn't bring it up, when he specifically asked her about it, they didn't deal with it, other than through the boilerplate language, which again, Mr. Ballou testified, was appropriate because they wanted to effectuate a clean break. So I think that the determination here that, that Mr. Poppy met the standard of care ought to be upheld unless there is any way this court could say that the decision was clearly erroneous. It wasn't clearly erroneous because there was plenty of competent evidence to support the decision. And unless the court has questions, I ask that the decision of Judge Kubi be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 44 seconds, Mr. Welsh.
Whatever.
This is your stuff. You can't use boilerplate as an excuse. He knew there wasn't any insurance, and so, as Mr. Koenig testified, once he knew there wasn't any insurance, then he had a duty to explain to her why this was.
Mr. Welsh, if we are to get where you want us to go, how do we deal with the testimony from Mr. Poppy's expert witness who said the boilerplate essentially was the right thing to do?
Because boilerplate should not be the right thing to do, and I don't care whether he uses that as being the right thing to do. You cannot use, as a professional, as an attorney, say that, oh, I can put this in here because it's boilerplate. That's wrong. That is malpractice. You can't do that under the circumstances. You're the lawyer. Why throw this in here when, in fact, you know that there's no insurance, and yet you throw it in there anyway? That's wrong. That's malpractice. Well, I put it in there because it's boilerplate. If you find that this is okay to do for lawyers, it's wrong. We don't have the right to use this as an excuse. We are here to represent a client to the best of our ability, and when something comes up, we've got to explain it to them. And this came up, and it was not explained, but it's just boilerplate. Don't give this as a defense.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned, and you are excused.
Thank you, Your Honor.